I could understand some of the words that Akinchan Krishna Prabhu was saying in his introduction. I could pick out the words Krishna Bhakti and Gita Upadesham. Of course, these are common Sanskrit words. Krishna Bhakti is the Upadesham of Bhagavan Krishna in his Bhagavad Gita. This International Society for Krishna Consciousness teaches Krishna Bhakti and Gita Upadesham. There is no difference between Krishna Bhakti and Gita Upadesham. Krishna Bhakti means it must be Gita Upadesham and nothing else. If at all we are to understand who is Krishna and what is Bhakti, then we must know what Krishna has taught in Bhagavad Gita. There are many people, even now in India today, who consider themselves devotees of Krishna, but they do not know what Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita. So their idea of bhakti is something they have maybe got from watching Mahabharata on TV or hearing something here and there about Krishna. But we cannot expect to know who is Krishna properly unless we understand what is Gita Upadesha. If we do not know who is Krishna, then we cannot properly have bhakti. Because Gita Upadesha is not being studied, therefore there are so many misconceptions about bhakti. For instance, people think that you can worship any god and it's all the same. And if you like Krishna, that's all right. And if you like Ganesh, that's also all right. And if you like Murugan, that's also all right. And it's all the same. But this is not Gita Upadesham. Bhakti, actual bhakti means, as described in Bhagavad Gita, ananya bhakti, without diversion to any other person. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna very clearly establishes that He is supreme. Matav parataram na anyat kinchid asti. He says that there is nothing superior to me. In other words, He is supreme. He is the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavaha, Krishna says, I am the source of everything. Matah sarvam prabhartate, which means more or less the same thing. Aham adir hi devanam, I am the source of all the demigods. And Krishna specifically states that worship of demigods is for persons who are less intelligent. Antabhattu palam te sham tadbhavati altametasam. Because the results which are given by demigods from their worship are limited and temporary, therefore worshippers of demigods are less intelligent. Krishna clearly states in Bhagavad Gita. The results of worshipping demigods is limited and temporary, and the result of worshipping Krishna is unlimited and eternal. Why is that? The worship of Krishna and the worship of any demigod is similar. Of course, in the worship of Krishna, we don't have people putting spears into their mouths and running on fire, as in Taipusam. You don't know what Taipusam is, do you? You know what that is? They are the Tamil people, they know. This kind of worship, this is tamasic. We see during the Taipusam, people, they become possessed by some energy, that is ghostly energy. But basically, in any kind of archan or aradhana or puja, there is some offering to the deity. But the result of worship of the demigods is limited and temporary, because the demigods themselves are limited and temporary. They are not supreme. And the result of worshipping Krishna is unlimited and eternal, because Krishna is unlimited and eternal. He is supreme. This doesn't mean that we hate the demigods, but we understand their position. They are all servants of Krishna. We are also servants. We are all meant to serve Krishna. So we should know that all our offerings should be given to Krishna. Now it may be said that if we offer to the demigods, that's the same as offering to Krishna. But Lord Krishna discusses this point in Bhagavad Gita. What is that? Yepi anyadevata shrata yajante. Yepi anyadevata bhakta yajante shrata yanvitaha. Tepi maam. What is that? Tepi maam? Eva konte ya yajantya viti purvakam. Tepi maam eva konte. He says that whatever is offered with faith to different demigods, Yepi anyadevata bhakta yajante shrata yanvita, offered with faith, that is offered to me, but it is not offered in the correct way. There is no harm in offering to the demigods, but we should offer to Krishna first. Everything should be offered to Krishna. Our very life, our very existence should be offered to Krishna. Lord Krishna requests this, or demands this in Bhagavad Gita. Sarvadhaman parityaja maam ekam sharanam vraja. You give up all the other varieties of dharma and simply surrender to me. Now, in worshipping demigods, we offer something, but we don't offer everything, and we expect to get something more back from the demigods. But Krishna asks us to offer ourselves fully to him. So we may ask, well, if I offer everything to Krishna, what will be left for me? Sarvasvam vishyave dadva murho vartishyate katam. If you offer everything to Vishnu, how will you live? How will you exist? It seems like a foolish proposition, but actually it is the most intelligent thing to do, because we should understand that actually everything belongs to Krishna anyway. So what does it mean if we are asked to offer everything to Krishna? Everything already belongs to him. Offering everything to Krishna means giving up the sense of false proprietorship, of thinking, this is mine. Offering everything to Krishna means to swikarkana, means to recognize. Recognize that everything is Krishna's and I am simply his servant. As long as we think something is mine, then we have the attitude of a thief. Because nothing belongs to us, everything belongs to Krishna. So we should use everything in Krishna's service. In this way, a grihastha can be a sannyasi. Living in your house, you can be a sannyasi. If we realize that this house is not mine, I'm living in it so that I can serve Krishna. That requires a very strong sense of Krishna consciousness. This we can imbibe from Bhagavad Gita, Unmai Uruvin. When we understand, as we heard was being quoted, everything in this material world is miserable and temporary, because this material world is dukhalayam ashashvat. Everyone likes to live in a house with the idea that this shall be my abode of happiness. Abode of happiness is sukhalaya. But when we understand that everything in this material world is dukhalaya, the abode of misery, then an intelligent person will want to find out then, where is happiness? It is the natural tendency of the jiva to seek happiness. Because the jiva is part and parcel of Krishna. And Krishna is purna satchit anandamaya. He is fully, completely, the complete whole who is eternal, full of bliss and cognizant. So the jiva, as part and parcel of Krishna, also has the tendency, has the nature of satchit ananda, eternity, bliss and cognizance. So it is natural for us to seek happiness. But without knowledge of Krishna, we attempt to find happiness in material life. But the happiness of material life is compared to getting a drop of water in the desert. Sometimes in the desert in Rajasthan, the temperature goes above 60 Celsius. I think maximum here is about 45, is it? It's too hot. When it's 45, it's too hot, isn't it? It's unimaginable what it's like to be 60. So when it's so hot, you just want to find some nice big lake full of cool water and bathe in it and drink the water. You're dying for want of water. There's no one to help. Then someone comes flying by in a helicopter and sees you in the desert and comes down and you say, "Pani, Pani." And they say, "Kya baat bol rahe ho?" They don't understand Tamil. "Water." And he said, "Oh, he wants water. Okay, give him some water." So they bring one dropper and say, "Put out your tongue," and they drop one drop of water. And then they go off in the helicopter. You got water, but it doesn't satisfy. So that is the happiness of this material world. There is happiness in this material world. But it is like the getting a drop of water in the desert. It doesn't satisfy us. Tatala saikate binduvari sama sutamita ramani samaji. This happiness, this drop of water in the desert, is the happiness of society, friendship and love. We think we shall be happy in our home sweet home, but we are never satisfied. And at the end, it all simply turns to disappointment. So in Krishna Bhakti, we are recommending there is another society, friendship and love. That is to enter Krishna's family. Krishna also lives with his mother and father. He has his friends and he's very happy. We like to keep pictures of Krishna in our house. At least that used to be the tradition in India. Isn't it? Who's 50 years old here or older? Yeah. So you remember 30 years ago? In every house there was pictures of Krishna or maybe some different demigods. Ram, yeah. Wasn't it? Every house. I first came to India 30 years ago. Every house we went, it was like that. Yeah. Now there's... Anyway, you know. Some big, ugly person with too many muscles sitting on a motorbike. Some horrible Rakshasa kind of person. Now instead of worshipping Ram, they're worshipping the Sampradaya of Ravana. Cricket stars and film stars and all foolish people. So please don't be foolish. Krishna spoke Gita Upadesha in this land, Bharatavarsha. And therefore, traditionally, people in this land have always been very much spiritually inclined. Just a short time ago, it was normal that more or less everyone was God conscious. A short time ago, it was normal that everyone was God-conscious. It was a normal thing that people would discuss Ram Leela, Krishna Leela. It wasn't unusual for older people to just spend all their time doing bhakti. Still that feeling is there, that we can understand if you go to Tirupati. Then in this season, you have to wait 4 days for a 4-second darshan. So still the feeling is there. But due to lack of guidance and very bad propaganda, people are going in the other direction. People will go up to Tirumala for darshan, then they'll come back to Tirupati and go to Saptagiri wine shop. We find all over Andhra Pradesh they have like that. Balaji hatcheries. And hatcheries, that means poultry farm. Oh. It's a very strange mixture. That means people, they lost their understanding of who is Balaji. They think that Srinivas will be happy if we have a wine shop in his name. So this great land of spiritual culture is being overridden by sinful activities. And even in the name of even the so-called Hindu gurus, they're mostly all just big rascals and cheaters. Just like in the next room I saw there's a little picture of this nonsense so-called guru, Ravi Shankar. If you understand what is Gita Upadesham, you can understand this man is simply a cheater. He's just promoting himself for personal popularity. He doesn't teach Bhagavad Gita as it is to surrender to Krishna. Just, he's got so many followers who praise him. But just see our Srila Prabhupada, he went all over the world and he inspired so many people to praise Krishna. A real guru never promotes himself, he only promotes Krishna. But nowadays, people, they don't know what are the teachings of Shastra, and they're very easily victimized by people who are self, they're interested, their own self-interest, promoting themselves. So, this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is preaching Gita Upadesham. This is not some imaginary Gita Upadesham. Gita Upadesham means Gita Unnamai Uravu. Anything else is not Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita as it is means Sarvadhaman Pavittaja Mamukam Sharanamuja. Anything else but this is not for the benefit of the jiva. If anyone is preaching anything but Bhagavad Gita as it is, his preaching is only cheating. It is not for the benefit of the jiva. So, following the direction of our most exalted Srila Prabhupada, we are trying to present Bhagavad Gita as it is, to teach who is actually Bhagavan, what is our actual self-interest, how we can actually be happy, unless and until we accept that we are only meant for serving Krishna, we can never be happy. Whatever we do, we can never be happy unless we surrender to Krishna. And you may become an MLA. There's such fierce competition in the political arena. It's very dangerous to become a politician. Very dangerous means someone may shoot you, but that's not the main danger. The main danger is that you commit so many sinful activities and you have to suffer so much in the next life. Just see, this man got elected by promising more eggs for the children. How the children are supposed to eat two eggs, a little tiny babies. But that is sinful. People have voted for him and they all have to suffer more and more sinful reaction. And then they're wondering why there is tsunami. It's surprising why there's not more tsunamis with so many sins. There was so much distress over the tsunami, but there's a much worse tsunami which is going on right now. That is this tsunami of westernization and materialism that is sweeping over India and completely destroying its real spiritual culture. But people are thinking, this is very nice. Even though they can see that in the Western way of life, no one is happy, still people are mad for it. This is a small town and still somewhat traditional. And you see, people who go to Bangalore or Chennai, they become very modern, but they become full of anxiety and they have so many problems. Still they think, somehow or other, they think it's better to be in a big city and be very sophisticated and have millions of problems than to live very simply in a small town or village. This is called insanity. So we're requesting, don't be crazy for this crazy way of life. The original spiritual culture is based on Bhagavad Gita as it is, Krishna Bhakti. If we follow that, we can be happy even within this miserable material world. Simply by hearing about and remembering the wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Lord, we can be happy even in this material world. So our life should be focused on this. Hearing about Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna, reading the instructions of Krishna, that is Gita Upadesha. And after studying Gita, we should also study Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this way, our lives can become actually successful in the true sense of the term. So we request you to please chant the holy names of Krishna and study Bhagavad Gita as it is. And associate with persons, with devotees, who have dedicated their lives for serving Krishna. In this way, live happily in this material world. And then, as Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita. By thinking of him at the time of death, we go to him to serve him eternally in full bliss in the spiritual world. So please do that. Is there any question?
What do you think about Krishna?
What do I think about Krishna? We should always think of Krishna. How should we think of Krishna? What is that? Anorani Ang Samanusmaradya Sabasya Dhatara Machintya Rupam Aditya Vana. What's the first line? Tamasaprasta. No, it's Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, we should meditate on Krishna, the Supreme Person, who is within the heart of every living being. Whose form is inconceivable. Yang Shama Sundara Machintya Guna Swarupa. His beautiful blackish form is inconceivably beautiful. He is playing on his flute and his eyes are just like beautiful lotus petals. Bahavatamsam, he has a peacock feather on decorating his head. Asitambuddha Sundarangam, his form is beautiful like the blackish cloud. So this is how we should think of Krishna.
Ms. Gandhi is asking, what is the difference between demigods and Supreme Personality of Godhead?
What's the difference between demigod? What's the terms you used in Tamil?
We are using generally for God.
That's misunderstanding. Well, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is addressed as Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. Here, show the verse. Let her read it out.
Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Bhavan.
Should I find it? Want to find it? Chapter 10?
Yes,
but you don't have. You got it?
Yes.
Oh, there you go. Alright. Can you read the Sanskrit? I'll read them. Yeah. So please read this out. Take the mic. Chapter 10, verse 12 and 13.
Andi.
Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan, Purusham Shashvatam Divyam, Adi Deva Majam Vibhum, Ahastrang Rishya Sarve, Devarshya Naradastata, Asita Devalo Vyasa Swayam Chaiva Vravishim. Just read the, show her the verse and ask her to read it out.
Tamil translation.
Tamil translation.
Bhagavad Gita Munmayuruvil Purusham Mozhipeyarpu Arjunan Kurinan Nire Parapiramamum Irudiyana Unnadamana Adaikalamum Thooymai Seibavarum Purana Unmayum Nithyamana Deiva Purusharumaga Irukkinreer Nire Adi Devar Pirappatra Deivigamana Moola Purushar எங்கும் நிறைந்த அழகும் நீரே உம்மை பற்றி நாரதர் அசிதர் தேவலர் வியாசர் போன்ற பெருமுனிவர்கள் எல்லாம் இவ்வாறு அறிவிக்கின்றனர். இப்பொழுது நீரே எனக்கு இதை எடுத்துரைக்கின்றே பொருளரை இந்த இரண்டு பதங்களிலே.
Well, if you read the purport, you'll understand more clearly. But the point is that this description is for Krishna only, not for the different demigods.
எனவே இந்த விஷயமானது பகவான் ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ணரை முகந்தர் கடவுள் என்பதை தெளிவாக விளக்குகின்றது.
All the demigods are dependent upon Krishna.
எல்லா விமான சிறுதெய்வங்களுமே பகவான் ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ணரை ஆதாரமாக வைத்தே இருக்கின்றார்கள்.
He is supremely independent.
பகவான் ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ணரை இறுதியில் உண்மையான முழுமையான சுதந்திரம் உள்ளவர் ஆவார்.
But he engages them just like ministers in the government, in the universal governments. To give them some service to do. There is a story of one German scholar.
He could
understand that, you know, someone told him, if he was very interested to understand who is God.
அந்த ஜெர்மன் பண்டிதர் உண்மையிலேயே யார் கடவுள் என்பதை புரிந்து கொள்வதில் ஆர்வமாக இருந்தார்.
So someone told him, if you want to find God, you have to go to India.
நீ உண்மையிலேயே யார் இறைவன் என்பதை கண்டுகொள்ள வேண்டும் என்றால் நீ இந்தியாவுக்கு செல்ல வேண்டும் என்று அவர் அறிவுரை கூறப்பட்டார்.
But when he came to India, he saw so many temples and he became confused.
அவர் இந்தியாவுக்கு பலவிதமான கோயில்களுக்கு செல்லும்போது பலவிதமான தெய்வங்களை பார்த்து குழப்பம் அடைந்தார்.
He came to the temple of Murugan and he understood that he's fighting. You can see he has his veil.
அவர் குருவரை கோயிலுக்கு வந்தார். குருவரை கோயிலுக்கு வந்தவுடன் அவர் அவருடைய கையில் உள்ள வேலை பார்த்தவுடன் இவர் யுத்தம் செய்யக்கூடியவர் என்பதை புரிந்து கொண்டார்.
And he came to the temple of Shiv Shankar and understood from the linga that he's engaged in the creation or injecting the living beings into the cosmos.
அவர் சிவன் கோயிலுக்கு ஒரு முழு சிவலிங்கத்தை பார்த்தவுடன் உலகத்தில் உள்ள பௌதிகமான ஜீவாத்மா அனைத்தையும் பௌதிக உலகத்தில் திணிக்கக்கூடிய முக்கியமான சேவையில் அவர் ஈடுபட்டிருக்கிறார் என்பதை புரிந்து கொண்டார்.
He came to the temple of Devi and found everyone is asking her for material benedictions.
தேவி கோயிலுக்கு ஒரு முறை புரிந்து கொண்டார். தேவியிடம் எல்லா விதமான மக்களுமே பௌதிகமான விஷயங்களை வேண்டுகோள் விடுகின்றனர்.
So he went to so many temples and found that all the demigods are engaged in doing something.
இவ்வாறாக எல்லா விதமான சிறுதெய்வங்களுடைய கோயிலுக்கு செல்வதன் மூலமாக அவர் புரிந்து கொண்டார். எல்லா விதமான சிறுதெய்வங்களும் கூட ஒரு குறிப்பிட்ட விதமான வேலையில் ஈடுபட்டிருப்பதை.
Then he came to the temple of Radha and Krishna and saw Krishna is standing or dancing, playing a flute and with Radha who is so beautiful.
இறுதியில் அவர் பகவான் ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ணரை ராதா கிருஷ்ணனுடைய ஆலயத்திற்கு வந்தார். அங்கு அவர் பார்த்தார் பகவான் ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ணன் அழகான முறையில் கையில் புல்லாங்குடன் ஆடிக்கொண்டிருப்பதை.
Then he understood he is supreme.
இவ்வாறாக அவர் புரிந்து கொண்டார் கிருஷ்ணரே இறுதியில் முழுமையான ஆன்மீகமான கடவுள் என்பதனை.
All the others have some work to do, but Krishna is simply enjoying.
எல்லா விதமான சிறுதெய்வங்களும் கூட அவர்களுக்கு ஒரு வேலை உள்ளது. ஆனால் பகவான் ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ணருக்கு ஆனந்தமாக இருப்பதை தவிர மற்ற எந்த விதமான வேலையும் இல்லை என்பதை.
Another question?
Sure.
Can I ask with the mic? Her name is Gayatri. Gayatri is also a sevika of Krishna.
Gayatri Bhagwan Sri Krishna Day Sevi. That name is Anjanita.
Gayatri is manifested as the flute, the sound of Krishna's flute.
Gayatri in the Quran, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Pulang Rulaya, Saptam Himalaya. வேற ஏதாவது கேள்வி தான் கேளுங்க. இப்ப நான் விஷயத்தை கேட்கலாம், நல்ல வாய்ப்பு, அருமையான வாய்ப்பு, கேளுங்க.
கிருஷ்ணர் ஒரு கடவுள், அப்படிப்பட்ட கடவுள் கோபியர்கள் குளிக்கும் போது அவருடைய ஆடை திரும்பினாலே சரியா?
Why is Krishna dancing with the gopis?
Why Krishna is in the Tritha Gopi?
Yeah, this is a very intimate leela.
இந்த விஷயம் மிக ஆழமான விஷயம்.
One point we understand is that Krishna and the gopis are fully transcendental. If Krishna was just some ordinary rake is an English word which means like a lumpat, then he wouldn't be worshipped even after so many thousands of years.
உண்மையிலே பகவான் ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ணர் நீங்கள் நினைத்ததை போல ஒரு சாதாரணமான போக்கிரியாக இருந்தால், மிகப்பெரிய சிறந்த ஆன்மீக வாதியால் தற்பொழுது வரை வணங்கப்பட மாட்டார்.
So Krishna and the gopis are both fully transcendental and their love is fully spiritual.
பகவான் ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ணரும் கோபியரும் இரண்டு பேருமே ஆன்மீகமயமானவர்கள், பௌதிகமான கலங்களுக்கு அப்பாற்பட்டவர்கள். அவர்களுடைய அன்பு இந்த பௌதிகமான கலங்களுக்கு அப்பாற்பட்டதாகும்.
So Krishna is stealing the clothes of the gopis demonstrates their his total acceptance of them and their total surrender to him.
Bhagavan Sri Krishna godiyade aadile kalavada kudi nigarchiyanade Krishna and the bhaktargal mulugiyana murayil yetukondar endrayum and gopi bhaktargal unmaiye Krishna mulugiyana murayil sarnagari adaindargal endrai velipaduvadhukkagave namukku korapattadaga.
That the devotee should be prepared that whatever Krishna does to me, I shall accept it, even if it's unreasonable. It seems wrong.
அந்த நிகழ்ச்சியின் மூலமாக நாம் புரிந்து கொள்ள வேண்டிய முக்கியமான விஷயம் என்றால், ஒவ்வொரு கிருஷ்ண பக்தனாகிய நாமும் கிருஷ்ணர் நமக்காக நம்மிடம் கேட்கக்கூடிய எல்லா விதமான விஷயங்களையும் நாம் அளிப்பதற்கு தயாராக இருக்க வேண்டும். வெளிப்படையான முறையில், பௌதிகமான முறையில் தவறான விஷயங்கள் போல தோன்றினாலும் கூட என்பதனே ஆகும்.
Through material understanding, it is not possible to understand this. Those who are fully surrendered to Krishna, they can understand this. So we'll have kirtan and
books.
Yeah, okay, announce the books.
இப்போ நம்ம கீர்த்தன் நடக்கும், அது இன்னும் முக்கியமான நிகழ்ச்சி. இந்த பலவிதமான புத்தகங்கள் உள்ளன.